listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider with Sirius XM, Fox Sports Radio. He's a local guy, too, at Sports Radio 810. Joining us here, been on the show before, good friends with Lance, and is back again with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Adam, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Gosh, it must be draft time. I'm back on with you. It's been, we go back way, I would think 8 to 10 years we've been chopping it up during draft time. So looking forward to it. The draft is 3 weeks from today. We got the Masters, Major League Baseball starting, NBA playoffs. A lot going on in the sports world.
Yeah, I told, and Adam's a big sports fan across the board, by the way. So, yep. You know, I told John, we had Sal Palantonio on earlier in the week, and I told John and Sal, you know, I reminded him that you're the one that got me involved with Greg Cosell and that NFL Films mock draft. That I don't know if you remember, but we did it the year that I remember we went around the room and everyone had a draft pick. I think it was 2013. We finished the first round of the mock draft, and nobody selected. That was the year EJ Manuel was the. EJ Manuel was the first quarterback taken, and everyone was blown away.
15th to the Bills.
I think he was, I feel like it might have been earlier, but who's the quarterback who ended up with from West Virginia who didn't get? He was with Jeff Nally 1 minute or Jeff Nally's. Agency. I think he was actually Eric Burkhardt's client. But your quarterback who went to Seattle.
Is Pat White? Are you talking about Pat White?
No. The quarterback who is in Seattle right now is the backup.
Geno Smith. Geno Smith. Yes.
My memory is just so terrible.
We went through
32 picks, and none of us had Geno Smith. And I'm like, oh, my God, Geno Smith just fell out of the first round. And guess what? That's the first time I remember thinking, you have all these people who are football minds in here, and no one took Geno Smith in a mock draft. And I realized, wow, is there a chance he could fall out of the first? Sure enough, Geno Smith fell out of the first.
Yeah, and listen, quarterback guys, the quarterbacks are going to go higher than you think. I've used the Mark Sanchez rule. Just when you say, oh, there's no way this guy will go in the top 10, he goes in the top 10. The quarterbacks always get pushed up. And by the way, with the Texans, the Davis Mills, if he didn't have a concern medically with one of his knees, this guy would have been probably late first, early second round pick, but there was a major medical concern, I'm told, last year, and that's why he did not go in the first two rounds.
Yeah, and where would he be in this draft this year if he'd have waited and gone back to Stanford? Let's say he had a decent year.
You know, it's a good way to put it. Let's leave the knee issue to the side. Based on arm strength and talent, you could make a case he's right up there with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, boy, I don't know about you, Lance. I've gotten such a variety of opinions on him. It's just, I don't. He's not polarizing. I mean, people like the guy personally. It's just that very few people think he's like a great prospect. I hear a lot of good, not great. But this is the problem with his quarterback class. Yes, two or three of these guys will wind up being good quarterbacks at the next level. This always happens. Guys like Kirk Cousins go in the fourth round and they become quality starters. But when you look at this overall class of quarterback, there's just not that one guy that you have to have, and that's probably what the Panthers at number six are looking at now, who need a left tackle and a quarterback. They're probably looking at it, yes, we need a quarterback, but do we absolutely have to have Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, and that's the problem, is trying to place these quarterbacks in the draft. It's really, really difficult because the tape says Malik Willis is a second rounder, but he's going to go on the first. The tape says Kenny Pickett is probably more a mid to later round first rounder, but at some point quarterbacks aren't always pushed up. Like, you're not going to see quarterbacks not going to go 1-2. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance one quarterback could go inside the top 10, but I don't know that it's a lock. And I know my old buddy, Daniel Jeremiah, he still thinks no quarterbacks go inside the top 10 this year.
I wouldn't disagree. I've had Kenny Pickett since November as a mid first rounder. I don't think anything's changed there. The question now is, when you look at these quarterbacks, when are they going to be ready? You mentioned Malik Willis. I mean, I haven't talked to anyone who thinks he'll be ready in year one. You and I were down at the Senior Bowl. He definitely opened some eyes, but He's more of a down-the-line guy. I agree with your assessment. He will go in the first round because it's a quarterback-driven league. If you don't have one, you're going to get one.
Yeah.
But to me, if you draft Malik Willis, you just have to believe that he's going to sit year one.
Adam Kaplan with us here on ESPN 97.5, NFL Insider. Okay, going to have a better NFL career. Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, or Kayvon Thibodeau?
I'm going to say Hutchinson because scouting term, clean prospect. If you just look at everything you're looking for in a pass rusher, he's pretty much got everything. Size. He doesn't have super long arms. You like him to be a little bit longer. But he's a professional. The scouting term, he's always looking for work. Really good prospect. It's a decent DN group this year, but they're not any elite guys. There are a lot of good ones. The Walker kid's really intriguing because he's a multi-positional player, but I do believe Hutchinson is the guy that will have the best career, and I'd be shocked if he gets past two, and obviously he's a major play at number one.
My goodness, if he fell to the Texans, but he ain't getting past Detroit, right?
I know, you can't. Yeah, and Detroit, by the way, their defensive talent is so weak that they need major help there.
Yeah. Rank your corners because the Texans are in dire need. Somebody that's going to be there at 13 for them.
Well, here's the problem. If you want the elite corners, Gardner's clearly the best corner for this draft. It would not shock me at all if he goes top five. I understand historically corners don't go that high, but I'm going to use the term clean prospect. He's about as clean as it gets in this draft. Does everything well. Size, speed, athleticism, toughness, intelligence, coachability. He's got it all. Stingley, he's got the one major year of production, but then you've got the major injury history. Then it drops off. It's Gardner's the top guy. Next guy, Stingley. Then you got Booth, who's a mid-first rounder. Then you've got a lot of good guys. Andrew Booth from Clemson would be that guy right around 13, I think. I don't know about what Lance thinks, but I do believe that's a guy that would make sense for them. And you know, not only that, when you look at the Texans situation, they need so much help. There's no question. They need DNs. I mean, Grenard was a great story, no question about it, but they need more pass rushers. They need corners in the worst way. There's no doubt about it. With the change in safety there, they probably could look at safety, but corner, I agree with you. DN, they need pass rush help. Offensively, they need receivers, though. I really like Nico Collins. I'm hoping he has a breakout season, but they need help there. And then, not that they need to have, well, they need another running back. They have plenty of good backups, but they don't have a lead back. They also need to add a running back who they think could be a big time first and second down guy.
Adam, all you have to do is say the Texans need everything.
Yeah,
yes.
Because once you get going,
I called them an expansion team last year.
You know, once
that's
you
worse.
Get going, once
they,
people
they
get
a terrible
going,
roster last year. I mean, they earned their record. But look, the good thing is the Texans have 11 draft picks. I like that they got two firsts, the second, the two thirds. So Nick Caserio and his group, they've got a lot of work to do, but they could get things moving in a major positive way if they draft well with these picks.
There's no question. It really could. It could get better quickly, but you have to hit, and you have to hit a home run. And I'm really curious to see if he starts to do what they did in New England, which is, you know what, we're going to move a pick or two backwards, and we're going to keep adding draft capital for future years. I'm really curious to see what this year. Last year he had no first, he had no second. I thought Nick, you know, panicked on a couple of the moves that he made in terms of trading picks to move up for a backup linebacker and for Nico Collins. I thought he could have sat still. But I am curious to see how he handles a draft where he's got more than enough draft capital now. I really am interested to see what Nick Caserio does. I'm not just interested, I'm excited to see what he does. So Texans clearly in a better place headed into this year's draft than last year.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Look, after what Bill O'Brien did to trade away all those future picks and kind of what happened there, yeah, now Caserio, look, they've got 3-13 in the first round. Three picks in the first 37. Now, one nugget I'll give you. So, and I this is really important to understand. Lance, you know this as a draft guy. Typically, if you talk to general managers and personnel directors, they'll tell you, I remember Bill Polian telling me this, they're typically real first-round grades, 12 to 15 players. The rest of our guys, if you you'd rather see in the second round than the first round. And it just so happens that the Texans' second first-round pick is at 13. That's the one they got from the Browns at 13 in that Watson trade. So just understand that they're at the bottom end of the good first-round picks. After that, if you're picking like 15 through 32, that's when you start hearing teams want to trade down, not up. And then, of course, we had the big trade this week, the Eagles and Saints trade, where the Saints wanted that second first-round pick, and the Eagles had three first-rounders. My understanding is they were looking to move one of them, and they did. And the Eagles' first pick in the first round is at 15, so we could see Howie Rosen and the Eagles GM trade again. Who knows? But, look, understand, I think Nick has positioned himself really well to start getting things moving here. And one other thing, Belichick historically, and you're right, they trade down, not up. They like acquiring picks for the future. So I agree with you. With 11 picks here, why not package some of them to maybe get picks for next year?
Absolutely. Hey, before we let you go, any thoughts on Bruce Arians? And here's his quote. I get credit, and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense. Are we going to be hearing Bruce over these next few years taking some shots at Tom Brady?
Well, what I find interesting is that somehow, and I don't know, I still don't quite understand what its front office role is going to be, but it's clearly going to be around the football team. Now, Brady will get more control of the offense with Bruce Arians not involved anymore. He can't be because he's not a coach anymore. He just can't. So that it's now the Brady show for sure with Byron Leftwich. It's Brady will get a little bit, well, not a little bit, a lot more of what he wants to do. But in the end, it's the Brady show. They're going to run it back. They brought out all the 22 starters back last year. Not as many this year, though it's close. They're going to run it back. I mean, they're going to be right there, making a Super Bowl run. The Rams will be very good. They're also running it back. That NFC, folks, it's the Bucks, the Rams. But after that, I think it's kind of wide open. And then in the AFC, how about the AFC West? Quarterback division.
Oh my God! Unbelievable! That's an incredible story.
And Carr's going to move up the board with Adams now.
Yeah, no, and Derek Carr, from a value standpoint, the Raiders are going to have to decide how much are we going to end up paying Derek Carr in the future.
Right.
I mean, that's another storyline where you're taking kind of average, okay quarterbacks, and now you're throwing wide receiver ones with them. And then the great quarterbacks now are losing their top wide receivers because, A, they take up such a huge chunk of the salary cap. But also, I think teams realize, this guy's so good, we can draft wide receivers.
Is there any chance that Carr has the best season out of all of them because Mahomes lost Tyreek?
I think it's possible.
I think that is possible,
I think
too.
It's possible. And Mahomes wasn't great for a stretch last year.
And Herbert's going to be good, we know that. But I think Carr could possibly have – what do you think, Adam?
Well, John, here's the thing. Adams and Carr are very close friends. They played together at Fresno State. This is the team, as I understand it, that Davante Adams targeted himself to go to. I talked to his agent, Frank Bauer, at the owners' meetings. I mean, this is Davante really wanted to go to the Raiders. And you've got Hunter Renfro is a good slot. They have a running game. The offensive line's not great. Darren Waller was hurt last season. He's back healthy. Yeah, this could be his best year. And remember, Josh McDaniels is one of the better offensive minds in the National Football League, and he coaches quarterbacks hard. Yeah, I like the marriage between McDaniels and Derek Carr, no doubt about it. And they should get things going here. They spent a lot of money in free agency. They obviously are paying Adams a ton of money. They should be better last year. And somehow, by a miracle, they made the playoffs. I still cannot believe they made it.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's Adam Kaplan right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great to have you back on again, Adam. We got to do it again soon.
We'd love it, guys. Thank you.
There's Adam Kaplan right here.
Thanks, Adam.
97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way next.